Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of the false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and speak to us, and we just give you this day. We ask you for just a manifest presence of your love and your just your presence to be here. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Pastor Sam is picking up Juanita right now at the airport. So, Matthew chapter 7. If we look at verse 1 through 5, right, it's talking about judging people. And PSAM has taught us, right, that Jesus is not saying you cannot judge ever anyone. Because if you are to, you know, really obey the command in verse 6, where he says, don't give to dogs what is holy, and don't give your pearls to the swine, to the pigs. I mean, you have to make some kind of a judgment call upon what kind of person that is, right, to be able to say, okay, well, I'm not going to give what is holy to these dogs and these swine, right? So, I mean, Jesus is not saying don't ever judge, but he's saying, you know, take the log out of your eye first. You know, he even says in verse 5, he says, take the log out of your own eye first, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So, You know, we should be, if we see a brother with a speck in his eye, then we should say, okay, well, I want to be able to take the speck out of his eye. But we need to first take care of our own issues, you know, our own log. And when I was at the Catalyst Conference in California, I went to one of the group sessions, and this guy, David Kinneman, who's from the Barna Research Group, you know, they do lots of polls and different studies and statistics to find out what people think about Christianity. And this is what he found out, what young people think about Christianity. And 91% of young people said Christians are anti-homosexual. 87% of young people said that Christians are judgmental. 85% said that Christians are hypocritical. And the title of that session was, Why Are Young People Leaving Church? Right? And this is one of the reasons why, because the view that they have of Christians is that we're all anti-homosexual and we're all judgmental and we're all hypocritical in what we're doing. And his point of that session, which I completely agree with, is that we need to be a light. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, just a few chapters before what we read today, Jesus says, let your light shine before men so that by seeing your good deeds, they will glorify the Father who is in heaven. And for some reason, we have this understanding, or we Christians just give ourselves an excuse and say, well, you know, non-Christians are supposed to hate us. Non-Christians are supposed to be offended by what we say. Non-Christians are supposed to, you know, not like what we're going to say. So we can't do anything about it, and we're just going to go on being judgmental and being anti-homosexual and being really political about stuff. And his point was, no, when you know, the Bible does talk about the gospel being an offense, right? Being an offense to people. But he did a very good job of pointing out scripture that showed us that the whole idea of the gospel being an offense to people is not talking about pre-believers that have no idea about Christ and God. Really, gospel is an offense to people who hold to the view that you need to work for your salvation. Namely, the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that society. Because when they heard that the gospel, you know, that salvation was free and that grace was free and forgiveness was free, you just had to come, then they were offended because they were like, well, we've been working this hard to try and make sure that we're in God's good books, and now you're telling us that the gospel is free, and that's an offense to them. But to the unsaved, to the ones that are, you know, that don't have any idea about God, Bible says the cross and the gospel is foolishness. That it doesn't make sense to them, and it's they're blinded to see it. They're unable to see. This is nonsense to them. But it, what it's not is it's not an offense. You know, it's not something that they're gonna be angry about. You know, and he makes a good case of saying we need to teach our church the importance of being a light, the importance of being the importance of bearing God's image, you know, and being an example of Father's love and God's goodness to the world. And so I agree. I think the church is very too much anti-homosexual, you know. And we get so worked up about, especially when we talk about holiness, and we'll preach about holiness in regards to sex all the time. But this is what Pastor Tim Keller was saying in a sermon. He said, we as a church, we need to get our act right in regards to money and also in regards to power before we can preach the world a holiness message about sex. You know, because if we don't have the money issue and the power issue right, then they're just going to be offended. They're going to be like, well, these hypocrites, you know. We can be so adamant about certain issues, but we, you know, we don't have the other stuff right and all that. So you know, we need to judge and whatnot, but I think we really need to first take the log out of our own eye before we can do that. And Yeah, we need to first be a light that shines before men, so that by our good works, people are drawn to God instead of torn away. I think homosexuality and even abortion, I don't think it's a political issue. You know, well, no matter what the government says, if the government makes it illegal, people will do it illegally, and people will have homosexual practices illegally, and it's really a heart issue, right? And the church wasn't a political body to make a political difference in the world. And, you know, even if the government makes abortion or homosexual marriage legal, if the church can do something to change the hearts of people, then we're doing our job, right? We're not out there to protest and to say whatever. So that's my take on those issues. But verse 7, it talks about prayer, right? Ask. We've all heard it many times. Ask, where it says ask and it shall be given to you. The tense of the verb is supposed to be, you know, keep asking and keep knocking and keep seeking. Not just a one time, I ask once and it'll be answered, but I keep asking, I keep seeking, I keep knocking. It's that picture of persevering in our prayers. And you know, as a church, I think we're really in a place where we need to keep asking. You know, we need to keep seeking and we need to keep knocking. And, you know, how many times do we just give up in our prayer? And then we say to God, well, how come, Lord, you're not answering my prayer? But really, we've just given up too fast and too early. And I do this all the time. I don't think I'm a very good perseverer, you know. I tend to pray and do this, but if it doesn't work out, then I just give up, you know. But Jesus is teaching us to persevere and to keep, you know, praying and keep seeking. So, you know, whatever you're praying about, especially in this season of our lives, there's a lot of spiritual warfare. Even when we had house church, different people were sharing about what's going on in their lives and how the enemy is attacking. And PSAM said that, right? On Sunday, he talked about spiritual warfare and how that's going to increase. Higher level, higher devil. And we should persevere in our prayers. If you're not struggling, pray for your church members, your house church members, and let's really intercede. I read this actually in Bob Sorge's book, you know, The Secrets of the Secret Place, and he talks about spiritual leprosy. Because what leprosy does is it, you kind of lose your senses, right? And you become numb to pain, and you become numb to, basically pain. So, like, if your hand's in the fire, you don't really realize it, and then so your hand, you know, eventually burns off and falls off. And he talks about how in the church body, we've kind of grown to have spiritual leprosy, where we don't feel the pain of each other, you know. And what the Bible tells us to do is, you know, you say rejoice. It says rejoice with those who are rejoicing and mourn with those who are mourning. But so often, we just don't care, you know. We're apathetic. We have lack of concern and interest for what goes on in each other's lives. And I really hope that we can break that as a church. You know, and I think it starts with your house church. You know, at least within your own house church, if you can break spiritual leprosy. Because you can't care about everybody. It's hard. It's too much pain. But if you, in your own house church, if you can really bear the pain of each other and mourn with them and pray for them and feel for them, you know, when they're going through a difficult time, I think then we will be able to pray and make a real difference in their lives. It's too much to go through everything, but you know, we've all heard it before. If we can just go to the last part in verse 28. The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And I just wanted to end today's devotional just by meditating upon Jesus, you know, upon who he is and upon his glory and his beauty. And, you know, it says people were amazed because they weren't teaching. Because in that time when the religious leaders and the scribes were teaching, they were really reciting what they had memorized and what they had learned from another teacher. But Jesus here is teaching them new things, and he's teaching them as one having authority, right? He's teaching them like he knows what he's talking about instead of just reciting, and they're marveling at him. They're amazed at Jesus. And so I just thought at the end of today during the worship time, we could really just focus on Jesus and his beauty and his glory, his majesty, his authority, and let's ask him to come and show himself to us. So Sam's going to lead us in worship. So let's just close our eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us.
Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. And Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. And Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. And Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you. And Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. Yes, Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. And Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. Jesus, we love you.
Let's pray together. Let's pray for our church. Really, there's a lot of people going through different things and tough times. You know, there's still a few people that are looking for a job and really seeking God's direction. So let's pray that God would lead them and speak to them and help them find the best job for them. Let's pray for Yuli and her family, her father especially. And pray for Diego, who's in New Zealand, that we've been praying for. It's a little boy. And James Kim and his sister with cancer. And he asked for prayer for his parents. They haven't been able to break the news to them yet. And they're worried how they'll take it. So let's pray for his parents as well. And also, please pray for Hannah Huang. She's a house church member at our house church, and she's pretty new to church, but her sister is in Edmonton all by herself, and there's not a lot of people around her that can support her, but she's sick right now. It's a female problem. I don't really know exactly what's going on, but she has some cysts in the ovaries, and they call it sleeping tumors, I guess, and so she's quite sick, but she has no one to support her emotionally, and she's alone. So I think she's going through a really tough time. So Hannah Huang's sister, her name's Christina. If you can pray for her for healing. Let's pray for our friends with unsaved family members. I know that's always a huge burden. Let's pray and cover our brothers and sisters in this way. So let's pray for our church. Let's pray for God's protection and against spiritual or against the power of the enemy. So let's pray together. Let's pray for our house church, Cain Road House Church, or McCain Road House, with Jimmy and Boyang. We'll be meeting tonight, so let's pray for them. Let's also pray for this weekend. There's a lot of things going on. There's GIC tonight, and the EG class is going on their retreat this weekend. So let's really pray that God would move powerfully in that time. And Saturday, there is intercessory prayer during the day. There is basketball in the morning, and Just Dance, Marsha? Just Dance is this Saturday? Oh, okay. So no Just Dance. Pray for the EG retreat. But IP team is praying, meeting, and youth group meets on Saturday evening. And on Sunday, we have a guest speaker. His name is Michael Pierce. He's been here before. So let's pray for him that he will be able to really preach to us God's word. And let's also pray for Monday night, Cascade, the inner healing ministry. Let's pray that God would really cover that time and move in that time. So let's pray for this weekend, and also Jimmy and Boyang's house church tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray also for our church leaders. Let's pray for Pastor Sam and Lisa, and Pastor Sam Kim and Annie, myself and Kenny and Samantha and Sophia and Ed. And also the house church leaders, the building search committee, the welcoming team. Let's just pray for people that are serving in our church. Let's pray that God would really protect them, and let's just bless them in our prayers. And let's also pray for our building search, our move, that God would really lead us to the right place. So let's pray together for our church. Thank you, Lord, for today. We love you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, would you speak to us? God, your word is a lamp unto our feet, and your presence is what we need, God, in our daily lives to really be strengthened and to really have passion and direction for our lives, God. So, Lord Jesus, come and speak to us this morning as we come into your presence. And we thank you. We love you. I just want to bless, you know, everyone that's here, God, with your peace today and your protection today and your presence today, God. So, Lord, be with them and bless them. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you guys. Have a great day.